Thank you for joining us for the CMC Weekly Podcast. God has a fulfilling and rewarding life for you as you pursue His plan with all of your heart. Our prayer is that you'll find direction and wisdom as you connect with us through our weekly podcast. Join us now for a message from Pastor Tim Brooks.
Well, we want to welcome you here today. I can honestly tell you that the four of us have been looking forward to this since the last time we did it. You know, as believers, we are committed to following the Lord. As believers, our desire is to please God. I mean, we clearly read about the wrath of God being loosed on all unrighteousness. We read about the consequences of wrong and sin in our life. And as believers, we desire to hear from God. God, I want to hear your voice. I want to hear you speak to me. I want to know that I'm on the right track. So I would say without a doubt, the number one question in believers' hearts is, how do I hear from God? How do I hear God? How do I know God's voice, I guess? And does God really even speak today? Does God even speak to people today? The confusion comes, I believe, from us studying life under the old covenant and seeing how life was lived under the old covenant. And we study that 4,000 years of human history. And in that, we read about God speaking from a burning bush, a voice coming out from a bush. We read about God leading people by a visible cloud or by a pillar of fire that just appeared during the day and led people by a pillar of fire. We read about a booming voice coming from heaven, and we long for that. We look to that as a way God speaks. And what I want to remind you is that is not what we want. When you read that, you got to look at this close. God would speak to his people, and then it would be 400 years before mankind heard God's voice again. I mean, several generations would live and die and never hear from God. I mean, God would go hundreds of years in between the time he spoke to his people. Oh, I wish God's voice would just come out of heaven. I don't want to go back to life under the old covenant. Right. I'm just telling you, we've got life now under the new covenant, and the blood of Jesus pays the price of sin that separated mankind from God. And so now God can live on the inside of our heart. And the fact is, God speaks to us each and every day. God speaks to us throughout our day. You may say today, well, Tim, I never heard God speak to me. I never heard God speak to me. Well, today we have a panel on stage with me, Paul Kern, Josh Barnett, and David Pate. We want to discuss hearing God's voice and recognizing God's voice. The title of today's discussion is Hearing God. Guys, Paul, Josh, David, mankind is created distinctively different than every other species on this earth. In spite of what we're learning in colleges today, man and animal are not even close to the same. There is a distinct difference in the creation of man. I live on a ranch. I'm in the horse and cattle business. And I've never had a horse feel bad because he kicked another horse. I've never had a horse feel bad because he ate another horse's food or bit at another horse. There is no regret. That ability that was created on the inside of mankind, we talk about or we identify it as our conscience, or that voice on the inside of us. Our conscience is how we hear from God. And we want to talk about that. Paul, why don't you start us out today, and let's talk about this.
Absolutely. Well, we're just super excited that everybody's here and we get to talk about this topic, because I think it's paramount for all of
Absolutely.
Us that we understand and know that we can hear from God. You know, for every believer, hearing from the Lord and having God's direction in our life is critical. So one of the big ways that we hear from God is through His Word. Mm-hmm. You know, Tim talked about animals don't have a conscience. Well, God did not go through the effort nor take the time to put together a word and then give animals the mind and the ability to understand that word being communicated. So as we look at the Bible is God's way that God speaks to us. Now we're going to look at several scriptures today. So those of you that are on your phones taking notes, I encourage you, jot these down. Psalms 19, a really great one. Psalms 19, starting with verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. The testimony of the Lord is sure. The statutes of the Lord are right. The commandments of the Lord are pure altogether. So we see that Scripture is a way that God speaks to us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. This is a great verse. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Mm-hmm. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So when you open your Bible, you are literally opening up God's Word, God speaking to you. Scripture is God's voice, and it's available to us at every moment, no matter what we're facing throughout the day. As we're going through a difficult situation in our life, we're needing direction. God's Word clearly speaks to us all the time.
Well, and all of us, every one of us has had this experience. You've read a passage countless times in your life, and you're reading it, and it's like that sentence literally just jumps off of the page at you. Right. And you've read it many times before, but it is illuminated to you as you read Scripture.
That's it.
I love the verse that you shared, 2 Timothy 3:16. I love the translation that says that all Scripture is God-breathed. These men were literally possessed by the Holy Spirit. When they put pen to paper, this was God speaking through
them.
And I'm the student pastor, as many young people tell me, like, well, God's not speaking to me. Well, He already has. He has a Bible that you're not opening. Good. And many times I encourage them, even the ones that are reading, slow down a little bit. Right. Read a chapter over and over again. Read it. It's alive and it's active. And you may read a verse one time and not get anything out of it. And you may read it the next time and get something completely different that like you said, it'll jump off the page at you. And so when my young people tell me, well, God's not speaking to me, I'll tell them, well, why don't you go read Ephesians like 15 times this week?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I promise you, God will speak
God
to
will
you
speak
through
it. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I think probably when you talk about the subject of God speaking to you, one of the things that we want God to tell us is what we need to do. You know, God, what do you want me to do? God, I've got this job offer. What should I do? Or I hear people in high school and college, you know, what college should I go to? What should I major in? What career should I pursue? And, you know, I think a big way that we hear from God is through the way that he created us, the way he gifted us.
That's right. Yeah.
And, you know, I think in 1 Corinthians 12:4, where it says there's a different kind of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit in the source of all of them. And then Paul goes on to teach about the different gifts that we all have. And I think we forget to look at the way he's already created us to be and the giftings that he has given us. And that is one of the ways that he speaks to us. But the problem is, we don't see our giftings. Mm-hmm. See, our giftings are the things that we do natural. And the things that we do natural, we don't think are special because we do them naturally.
Right.
You know, we look at the giftings that other people have and we think, wow, they are amazing. And so we think, because I'm not amazed by my giftings, then I must not have any giftings. And so that's why everyone's insecure and jealous of other people. When we've got to stop and look in the mirror and see how has God created me to be? What am I naturally good at? You know, God, what do you want me to be? God, what? And God's sitting there going, I've already made you what I want you to be. Mm-hmm. You just need to go and live out in those giftings. So I think our insecurity gets us. And then, of course, a lot of times we pray, I want to pray about, you know, God, should I be in the NBA? And God's like, David, look in the mirror. You don't need to pray about that. You know, you're not 6'6", and you're slow, you know. And so I think we don't see what we do naturally, and our giftings can teach us.
Well, and to tie, as we look at this, I'm gifted, and I do good talking, and I got a lot of good cuss words. So there's a guy at office I need to give a good cussing to, so that must be what God wants me to do. Except God's word says no profane thing would come out of your mouth. Mm-hmm. So you say, well, I'm gifted at this, and this is what I'm going to do. Well, then you come back to the Word and say, what does the Bible say? I'm pretty good at night. Nobody can see me, so I'm going to sneak around and steal a four-wheeler at night while nobody sees me. I'm good at that. Except for God's Word says you don't steal. So you begin to tie in all of life together, and you tie in the Word, you tie in your giftings, and then you, out of that, hear from God.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
I think it's important in John chapter 10, Jesus is teaching, and he says the sheep will know the shepherd's voice. And so we have this inner voice where the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, because Jesus died on the cross so that we could be in communication with the Father through the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit's talking to us all the time. Many times we don't recognize it. A lot of times he's telling us, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have treated that person that way. And he convicts us of those things that we need to make right, but he also convicts us of the things that we need to do. You know, many times I'll be praying and he'll say, you need to call this person today, or you need to check in on this person, or you need to go this way today, or I'll be going through the grocery store and they'll say, hey, you need to talk to that person. Well, that doesn't come from my natural fleshly thoughts. That's the shepherd speaking to me. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, it says, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. This is the way, walk in it. And as we spend more time with him, we become more accustomed to his voice, and we become more accustomed to his word and what he wants us to do. So I think we really need to recognize that inner voice that the Holy Spirit's speaking to us, and differentiating between, well, I'm not supposed to, like you said, I'm good at stealing stuff, but obviously that's not God's word.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But the Holy Spirit is telling me, hey, you need to give to this person. You need to do this today. So.
Well, as you apply the word in your life, then it becomes God speaking to
right.
you through his word, through what you're gifted at and what you're good at.
That's right. God's word is only impactful as you're obedient to it. Right? If
that,
we're not obedient
true.
To God's word,
that's true.
You gotta
then it's
say that,
not going to be.
You got to say that again.
God's word is only as impactful as we are obedient to it. Mm-hmm. Right? So as we walk in obedience, we can hear from the Lord. I run into interns a lot that I work with, you know, and they're learning how to hear from God and how to connect with the Lord. And one of the things that I try to tell them is, you know, you're not going to be able to go out and kick it up at the bar on the weekends or hang out at the clubs and then think you're going to be able to hear God speak to you. What happens is you put yourself in a position where your spiritual ears become deaf to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Your spiritual heart becomes numb to the very soft tappings of the Holy Spirit in your life, because you put yourself in a position where you're not able to hear from God. So the power of Scripture becomes evident as you daily submit to the Lord.
Well, God never speaks to me. God never speaks to me. Well, that's a result of your disobedient lifestyle.
That's right.
I read this quote the other day. It says, the willingness to obey God is what attracts the voice of God.
My goodness.
The willingness to do what he says before he says it is what attracts him to speak. So many times we're wanting God to speak, and God knows, you're not going to obey me. You're not even living according to my word, so why am I going to tell you to do something else? But it's that willingness to obey
right.
that attracts him to speak more to us. I think that's one reason he called Abraham, is because Abraham was always willing to obey what God was telling him to do, even when he called him to sacrifice his son. And when he called him sacrifice Isaac, Abraham didn't say, whoa, hold up. No, he was obedient. He got up early the next morning and set out to do what God had called him to do.
Well, when you are feeling like God hadn't spoken to you, I hear people say, well, Tim, it's just like the heavens are just closed. I pray and I don't hear from God. Well, you might check your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You might check the way
right.
you're living and line it up with the word and see if there's a reason for that.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think God has revealed more to us than we're willing to open our eyes and see. You know, I think he has spoken to us. We just didn't like his answer.
Right.
You know, it was like Jonah. God had already spoken to Jonah to go and do this. And Jonah was like, no, I don't want to do that. I want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just didn't like God's answer. So we go in the opposite direction. I see this a lot when people ask for advice. I watch them ask the same question to five or six different people.
Right.
Because they're looking for someone to make them feel better about the bad decision that they are going to make.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know what God wants me to do when sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes he's already told us, we just don't like what he told us to do.
Well, I got a call just a couple of weeks ago, and this happens quite often. Pastor, I don't go to your church, but I know you're a wise man, and I need to ask your advice on something. And I just interrupt them, and I just say, my advice is for you to do what the pastor has already told you to do at the church you're going to. Because I've been in this thing long enough to know they have sought advice from their church and they don't want to do that. So now they're going to call me and try to get me to agree with what they want to do. I just interrupt. My advice is for you to do what your other pastor has already told you to do.
Yeah. I think people who are closest to us are the people that God uses most often to speak to us. As much as I hate to admit it, my wife often is a voice of the Lord to me. And it's usually not at a time that I want to hear God's voice speaking to me, right?
I want to go, God, just speak to me, speak to me. My wife says, babe, I wouldn't do that if I was you. Oh, God, speak to me, speak to me.
Well, yeah. You're wanting it when the worship is good, lights down low, and everything's great. You don't want a finger pointing at you. You better not do that, or you're going to wish you hadn't.
I think another way that we can hear God's voice is through the fruit of things. Matthew chapter 7 says, you'll know a tree by its fruit. Good tree, good fruit. Bad tree produces bad fruit. Mm-hmm. And, there's a way that produces godly results, and then there's a way that doesn't. Basically, God was saying, what works?
Mm-hmm. Right.
This doesn't work. This does work. What is the fruit of it? And I think sometimes we're trying to force something that God doesn't want us to do. Mm-hmm. We're trying to put a square peg into a round hole. We're trying to make something happen, and that's not the way that it works, whether it's our pride that's pushing us to try and go this way, or our flesh, or maybe it's just a habit. We always do this because it's a habit, or it's easier, and I don't want to do it that way. But we have to ask ourselves, what does God want me to do in this situation? What works? What is going to produce fruit in my life in the long run? Melissa and I have had several, my wife and I, intense conversations. A few, let me repute that, a few intense. But it always seems to end up in her crying. And, I have to ask myself, did that work? I think we do things over and over again, like the time that I ruined Christmas for her. Too many times we get in a cycle of things that don't work, and we're not hearing God.
Right. That's just keep doing the same thing that's not working. Yeah.
We don't hear God. With my friends, that didn't work the last time. With my boss, that didn't get me the raise I was looking for. With my coach, that I got sat on the bench, that didn't work. And I think as a parent, we got to learn to hear from God. I grounded my kids. That didn't work. Okay, let me do something that will produce. And once again, I think we're avoiding what God had already told us.
God, speak to me. Yeah. Speak to me. What you're doing is not working. He's trying to tell you something here.
That's right. It.
Well, that is so good. Psalms 37:4 says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Mm-hmm. God speaks to us out of our heart's desires. That's a way that God speaks to us. Now, the key to that is in John 15, abide in me, I abide in you, my words abide in you, then. Mm-hmm. So, I'll give me my desires in my heart. No, not your fleshly desires, but the desires that you have inside that are being led by the Lord.
That's great. God speaks to our hearts once our hearts have been made new by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so, it's critical that you have a salvation experience. You've got to be born again. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, who wants to tell somebody what to do if you're not going to be willing to submit and do what you're being told?
Sure.
After a while, it's like, what's the point of me trying to tell you to do this if you're not going to go and willingly go do what I'm telling you to do? So there's got to be this submission. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 says, I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and I will give you a heart of flesh. So the scripture says, once we are born again, then God gives us a heart that desires to know him intimately. And when we desire to know God intimately, then we desire to do the things that God wants us to do. So we can hear from him so much better when we do it that way.
And when you have a heart change, your desires change according to the word.
That's it.
The things in your own personal life, Paul, that you desire to do now are not what you desired
totally
to do
different.
When you were a teenager.
That's it.
You've got new desires in you. Just 2 weeks ago, my grandson Eli, sitting right here, 10 years old, we're driving down the road, and he looks at me and he said, Poppy, Boy, and I could tell when he said that, this is something different. And I looked at him and he said, how old do I have to be to preach on Sunday morning? Because I want to do that so bad. Well, if I were to announce to the vast majority of you that you will be speaking next Sunday, you'd kill yourself. The thought of getting up here on this stage and standing in front of all of these people and talking for 45 minutes, you would go jump off of a bridge somewhere if I said you're going to preach next Sunday. But my grandson at 10 years old has a desire in his heart. Mm-hmm. He is being gifted in that area because he's a real talker. He takes after some of the other family members we have here. So he is a talker. He has giftings because in the third grade he's already teaching in front of his whole class. Stands up and gives a Bible lesson, stands up and teaches. So he is gifted. He has fruit there in his life. Then he's got a desire there. See, people are come to me all the time and say, well, Pastor, I think we ought to be going and doing a jail ministry. I think we ought to be reaching the homeless. I think we ought to go visit orphans. Or I think we ought to go visit with us. What's our church doing? They don't realize that is a desire that God is placing in you.
That's it.
Now you go do.
God
will lead you through the desires of your heart. So don't come and tell me what we ought to go do. That's God leading you through the desire that you have to do that.
That's right.
So God leads you. We got to be careful when we say God will give you the desires of your heart because of what we're talking about here. Not the desires of your flesh.
Right.
But when you have that new heart and you're being led by him and you're obedient to him. Hold on. Read that passage again. I'm just carried away with this. I've never heard this before. I'm going to steal this.
It says the willingness to obey God is what attracts the voice of God. The willingness to do what he says before he says it is what attracts him to speak.
The willingness to obey God is what attracts his voice. Mm-hmm. Well, God never speaks to me. Check out the way you're living.
Mm-hmm.
Check out the way you're living.
I will say, when David was talking about fruit, I really think that's one thing that drew my heart to the Lord, is because after I graduated high school, I wanted to live my own way, and I started living a certain way that was contrary to the Word, and I was living like the world and only interested in the things of the flesh, and I started looking around and seeing, all these people's lives aren't working out real great. I've got friends going to jail and going to rehab and all kind of stuff. I'm like, this ain't working out real good, and even looking at some older men who were in my life, and like, this isn't working. And I remember clear as day when I think I was 17 years old, my senior year, I walked into David's house and Eli was probably year and a half old sitting in his high chair. And when me and David walked in, he looked at David, smiled real big and said, Daddy. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me in that moment and parted in my heart and said, you will know this feeling that David has right now if you will follow me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that drew me back to the heart of the Father, that drew me back to the Lord, is I was looking at the fruit of David's life and seeing that, like, I want that, but I'm living this way, living contrary to what God's word and what he's telling me is not working out for me. And so that really drew me back in to see the fruit of David and the fruit of his life and what he was living, and the Holy Spirit was like that. And so now I've got two young boys who look at me and smile and say, Daddy.
Yeah.
And that is, I mean, that's all the payment right there. That's right. God speaking to me right there.
As soon as I stop crying, I'll have a good point for you. You know, I think we make hearing from God a lot harder than it has to be.
Oh, that's good.
I do. I think most of the time we're praying about what we should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that. And I think it goes back to what Tim said at first. You know, I think we're so consumed with the Old Testament. You know, as we read the Old Testament, it talks about God on the outside and God speaking through a burning bush and an audible voice. And I think we're consumed with the old covenant, the old way of doing it. And we've got to understand today that we have Jesus on the inside.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
right.
We have Jesus on the inside. He is speaking to us every day, not once every 400 years.
Right.
You know, he is speaking to us on a daily basis through situations, through the desires of our heart. And I think, you know, my favorite things to hear is after a sermon to hear 30 people say that was speaking right to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's impossible. That's impossible for a pastor to get up and speak right to everybody's individual needs, because pastor's going to have one sermon title, but God will speak to on the inside of all of us if we will listen.
Mm-hmm. And I think beyond a shadow of a doubt, God speaks to you all day long.
Mm-hmm.
We've just got to learn to recognize that as God. And I've been working on it in my life. I have been working on it because God speaks to me all day long. You hadn't seen so-and-so in a while, you'd better give them a call. That's right. Just write that off. But I hear, you hadn't seen so-and-so, mm-hmm. Check up on them. Drop them a little note. Check up, you need to go by and pick up this on your way home. I write God's voice off all day long because it's not a bush. The front of my truck hadn't caught on fire, but it's not burning and a voice come out of my engine. Because that hadn't happened, I write that off. Don't go here, go around this way. And I write that off, I go here, and there's a traffic jam up there, and that could have been avoided had I just listened to that voice. I'll never forget, and this is what really shocked me and got me trying to tune in. I'm driving down the interstate out in West Texas, in a 30-foot motorhome pulling a 15-foot horse trailer full of horses behind me, rolling down the road at 70 miles an hour, and it went off inside me, exit right here and go to that gas station. And I looked at my gas gauge and I had gas. That voice, exit right here, go to that gas station. And I'm warring with that voice in my head. And I just dove almost too late down that exit ramp. I pulled into that gas station and I was a little bit addled because I didn't really need gas. I'll get gas here. And I pulled in, I get out of that motorhome and I walk back there and my bumper hitch had come loose. It was hanging on, and I'm telling you, I was afraid to get in that and pull it across the parking lot. That thing was about to come loose. I was going to turn loose a trailer full of horses at 75 miles an hour down the interstate. Wow. How many people would have been killed? How many cars would have piled up? What kind of crisis would that have caused? And literally, it was so broken, I was afraid to pull it just 20 more feet to get it out of the way. I walk into the convenience store and I say, man, I don't even know where I am. I need a welder. The guy goes, my best friend's a welder. He lives right around the corner. Hold on. Hey, he's on his way over here. He's sitting at home. He jumps in his welding truck, pulls right over there, slides under that thing, welds all of that back up. In less than 30 minutes, I'm on the interstate rolling down the highway. And tears are running down my cheeks thinking about what could have happened and thinking about all of the things in my life that I had just dismissed. When God speaks to you and I hourly throughout our day, we're going to have to recognize His voice.
Oh, God never speaks to me. I don't ever hear from God.
Well, it's not a burning bush, but when the new covenant, God's on the inside of you. Tune in to that voice.
That's great.
We've got to tune
in. I love that point. You know, we can all think back when we were first saved, okay, when we were young Christians, and it was amazing how God would move in our life. I mean, you would pray for something and it would happen just like that. You would ask God to meet a need and you would pray for a divine appointment and things would come around. God would just lead you and guide you. And it seemed like as a young Christian, it was a lot easier to hear God's voice when you first got saved than it was now years down the road. And I talked to people being in this position and said, Paul, I don't hear from God like I used to. I don't hear from God like I used to. And I explained to them, well, you have to understand God is a father and God is all about growing people up. God wants to move us into maturity. So, you know, it's kind of like David with Eli and his children, or Campbell down here, you know, as they're growing up, they're younger. So mom and dad are very clearly saying to them, don't do that. Do this, put that down, go here, do this, do that. But as you begin to mature, mm-hmm. what mom and dad are doing is they are building a moral library and an inner voice inside of their children. So that as they begin to get older, then they learn to recognize the inner voice of their father, mm-hmm. the inner voice of their mother. So God brings us into a place where He's just not going to spoon feed us and hold our hand anymore. Right. He wants to bring us into a place of intimacy. Mm-hmm. So now I can be sitting with my wife and we're just sitting at the house, and there is a lot of communication going on that is nonverbal. Mm-hmm. Because we're in a place of intimacy now where those whispers and that nonverbal communication speaks just as loudly as those loud conversations that you have.
That's so good. God has built into you His Word, and that my flesh, boy, I want to do that, or I want to stop here. Wait, then immediately I hear, that's not what you want to do. That's
right.
Not where you want to go. Well, we can't forget countless places in Proverbs and throughout the Scripture, it talks about wise counsel. What do mature Christians say to you? Now, I continue to marvel at who young people seek great counsel from. They seek counsel from their other bonehead friend about finances who doesn't have any money. They seek counsel from somebody who's been married 5 times. I mean, whatever the issue is, you've got to seek wise counsel from people who has wise fruit in their,
that's
the result
good.
Of wise fruit in their life.
Mm-hmm.
So wise counsel, what do mature Christians, when you get 5 mature Christians that say, you better watch out, I wouldn't date that girl. Mm-hmm. You better watch out, I wouldn't do that. For you to keep going right on seeking God's will, you're foolish.
Right.
Wise counsel.
Right. Yeah, sometimes the audible voice of God is speaking to you. It's coming through somebody else.
Yeah, that's right. It is an audible voice. It just is an audible voice. Wise counsel.
We don't take wise counsel because we don't like who it's coming from.
Sure.
You know, the thing about wisdom is it doesn't pick and choose who gives it to you. Mm-hmm. You know, and in our offended society, you know, we're offended by truth.
Mm-hmm.
We're offended by wisdom.
Well,
but,
good.
You know,
man,
if we'll
so
deny
good.
Our flesh for just a second,
yeah.
we might allow God to speak to us instead of offense quieting that. And I think, you know, for me personally, I think I identify big time with Moses. You know, his father-in-law Jethro was trying to give him advice, and I just thought, I've got a country Jethro in my life too, trying to give me advice. You know, so it's hard to hear wisdom sometimes.
There's
from
a lot
certain
of scriptures
people.
That we could use about wise counsel than to try to pull that one up.
Oh gosh.
Melissa, why'd you pick him? Don't you? She wonders that more than I do.
Oh, yeah,
I
really.
Can just tell you. You know, when you hear God's voice and you follow it, Philippians 4:7, His peace guards your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Colossians 3:15, peace will rule in your heart. Isaiah 26:3, He keeps you in perfect peace. The peace of God. You know, when I am right with God,
right.
I have a lot of peace.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I am facing things that I don't want to do. Facing hard deals in life, but I have a peace in my heart when I'm living right with God. When you're not right with God, you don't have peace, regardless everything's really going good for you, but there is no peace. You're jerked up and you're in a knot. So you can look at your level of peace oftentimes and find out if you're being obedient to God's voice or hearing God's voice. You can be led by His peace. You know, we got to wrap this up. My goodness, when we start into this, we run out of time before we even get started here. There's so much to talk about, but I am really convinced that you do hear from God.
That's right.
Don't get caught up in life for 4,000 years under the old covenant. Thank goodness that we're not there. Thank the Lord that every time you want God's voice to boom out of heaven or a cloud or a fire to lead, thank God that you're not there.
That's it.
And tune in to the Spirit of the Lord that's living on the inside of you and listen. Tune in to what He's telling you. Tune in to what God says. Oh, you mean God speaks to you? And He speaks to you all the time.
Right.
All the time. Tune into what He's saying. When you open your Word, there are many times I read my Bible because that's what I do. It's a habit. But there's a lot of times I read my Bible and a Word comes to
me. That's right.
I talk to people because that's what you do throughout your day. But many, many times, all of a sudden, somebody's face will just sort of disappear. And I know that's God speaking to me clearly about this is a staff member or a friend or somebody. I mean, God will begin to speak, and I know that's what I've been praying about, the answer. Yep. Tune into God. Read it one more. I'm carried away with this now.
The willingness to obey God is what attracts the voice of God.
That is the key to us.
Right.
The willingness to obey Him will attract His voice. Well, God never speaks to me. Is there a reason?
Right.
Is there a reason?
Mm-hmm.
You know, oftentimes in my life, I got to go back to what He told me. I'm I never forget, this was years ago, Terry and I had a really nice car, and it was, at that time, the nicest car that we had ever owned up until that point. And God told me to give that car to another young couple. Clearly, I did not want to do that. It was paid for. Now, if it wasn't paid for, I'd want to give it to them and let them take up the payments. This car was paid for, and I did not want to give our car to this other couple. And you know, I'd pray, and I wouldn't get anything. I'd pray, and I didn't hear from God. I'd pray, and then I'd hear, what about that car? And I'd start praying, and I'd hear, yeah, what about that car? And I'd pray, and I'd pray, what about that car? Let me tell you, if you're in disobedience to what he told you why are you praying and asking him about something else over here you hadn't done the last thing he told you to do?
Right.
Finally, after weeks and weeks, I got so frustrated, I called the guy up. I said, are y'all home? I'm coming over. I got to give you something. I wanted him to have the keys to that car because my life was miserable. We hear from God.
Yeah.
Don't sit there and tell me God never speaks to me. God speaks to you all the time. What flows naturally out of you? What bears fruit in your life? What is your giftings and your, what is your passion? Mm-hmm. What are you passionate about? What is your desires? What do mature Christians say to you? And all that you hear from everybody else, from others, and from on the inside, it's got to line up with the Word.
That's right.
It has to line up with the Word. Right. If it doesn't line up with the Word, then you can forget that. We're out of time. As we close today, I want you to know that God does speak. God talks to his people throughout each and every day. Don't dismiss it. Don't write it off. Tune your ear to hearing God's voice. Y'all stand with us. Amen. Lord, today we're just so grateful for the blood of Jesus that paid the price of sin that separated us from your voice. God, thank you. Thank you for the reconnection of us with you. And Lord, that we tune into your voice as we live our life obedient to you. God, today we honor you, and may you be glorified in our life this week.
You have been listening to the Christian Ministries Church Weekly Podcast. Join us each week for more messages from CMC.